Hello and welcome. You're listening to my podcast, Claire Russell. This is episode 4 of the series Claire and Todd on the Sofa, which was originally broadcast via Facebook Live on the 14th of March 2017. In this podcast, our fourth on a different sofa, we talk about the honest truth about running a business, the stuff that nobody talks about. Hello everyone, my name is Claire Russell. If this is your first time listening, it's good to have you with us. For everyone else, welcome back. These podcasts are produced regularly and cover a variety of subjects. Show notes can be found over at www.clarerussell.co.uk/category/podcasts. If you enjoy listening to our podcast series, please consider subscribing so that you don't miss a single episode. You can also follow me via @crbusiness over on Twitter and or subscribe via www.clarerussell.co.uk. Now, on with the show. Morning, guys. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We're really pleased to see you. So there's quite a few more people have tuned in the last few minutes. So just to repeat, and then we're going to get properly started with the topic that we're discussing today. We're Claire and Todd on the Sofa, and we are live from Backo Lounge. New sofa, new surroundings. We're live from a sofa in Backo Lounge in Rugby. The guys here have very kindly allowed us to set up our mobile studio.
There's literally people having coffee all around us. This is really... Well, actually, this doesn't really feel weird to me.
It's kind of normal. No, I like it.
These people, they don't care. They're just working.
They're just working and we're just recording our little thing. Yeah. So we're going to talk about this morning the things that happen in business that nobody talks about, the subjects that are seen as taboo, the difficult things, the challenges, the things that in reality all of us face at some time in our business, but it's sometimes hard to talk about.
Okay, I'm still struggling with technical issues, but it's working. People are there, so that's all good.
That's okay, people are here. So I was thinking back to the early days in my first business. So for those of you that don't know my background, I run a business, a network marketing business, about that. So we're going to be talking about the things that happen in business that we find difficult to talk about, the challenges and, you know, not necessarily negative things, but the difficult things and the challenges that we all face at some point or other in our business lives, and that sometimes are hard to talk about. So I was just giving you a very quick background on me. I run a network marketing business. I set that business up about a year ago after spending a few years being employed in the corporate world. But prior to that, I'd run an insurance business for many years. I ran that business for about 12 years. And I'm going to talk about some of the challenges that I faced in that original business and then in more recently. Because they're different.
Because that's
different
in the script that we've got down here.
We don't have a script. We're making it up as we go along.
Don't have a script. And I come from a really weird background. You know, I hang around people like you guys that come from a big corporate background and you had like proper suits and jobs and pensions, and I drove a van. So I actually set up a business with no idea how to run a business. Which is quite cool. So I had an idea, I had something I wanted to do, and Joe, my partner, is really organised, and that's really helped. But actually, I had no real idea how to run a business.
But in reality, do any of us have any idea how to run a business when we first start?
I don't know, that's kind of the first thing I wanted to talk about, if I kick that off.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people running the business right now, a lot of people watching this, probably don't know what they're doing. And that's okay. Because actually, the reason you started your business is because you're really good at what you do.
Yeah.
And running a business is completely different to what you do in your field. So, you know, I do social media and I do stuff, content like this, create content, write loads of stuff. And that's what I do. But running a business is completely different to that. And I didn't go to business school. I didn't do business studies. In fact, I did do business studies at school, but I dicked around. Now I wish I'd paid attention. But I think a lot of people struggle with that part of it. And you quickly learn that actually you've got to get people on board to help you out with that.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I'm going to admit. I'm getting better at it. But I feel silly calling myself a business owner because I don't really run a business. I just do what I love doing. And a lot of the stuff that I do, I've kind of just winged it as I've gone along. A bit like this, really, because there's no script.
I think that that the majority...
Sally says she had no clue either. My business has totally changed in the last 5 years. Made so many mistakes along the way, and still not perfect. Utterly winging it, says Renee. Love it. This is scripted. That's not scripted.
I think that the majority of people, probably, if they're honest, will admit to the same thing. Because if you haven't done it before, you know, you may have studied business studies, but that's not practical experience,
is it?
No,
true, no.
You know, that's textbook. And in reality, we all know, it doesn't happen like it happens in the textbooks, does it?
No.
You know, it's very different in real life. When I set my first business up, I was 20. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing.
Was it a real business? I mean, you were 20.
It was a real business. It was an insurance...
Was it like, you know, washing cars or something? Was it an actual business?
It was an insurance broking business. It was very serious. I had to... Really serious. I had to jump through all sorts of regulatory hoops to get the business...
I can't imagine you being serious.
Really?
No. I can't imagine you being serious.
I was really, really serious at that point in my life, I think. And it, yeah, I mean, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I totally winged it. But the first lesson that I learned was not to be afraid to ask for help.
See, I'm the opposite, because I'm a man, you see.
Well, men don't, do
men
they?
Men don't ask for help.
They carry on blindly.
I'm the guy that gets lost in the middle of nowhere, and I never ask for directions.
Yeah.
So in business, I'm kind of the same. Whereas my partner, Jo, she'll get help and seek help and stuff. I heard a really great foresight by Stephen Timberlake, a guy we both know really well,
yes,
about asking for help, and it's a brilliant foresight. And that's kind of stuck with me, that actually you do need to ask for help. But as a man, it's kind of like a weakness to ask for help. It really is a weakness to ask for help. It is.
It's really not. It's really not. And I think it's one of the things that if I was going to talk to a new... somebody that was about to start up a business for the first time, it would be one of the first pieces of advice that I would give them would be not to be afraid to ask for help.
See, she wasn't around 3 years ago.
No,
luckily, Joe's been asking for help, so we're absolutely okay.
Because, you know, there are loads of things that you're going to have to do in your business that are just outside of your frame
absolutely.
Of reference.
Absolutely.
You don't have the experience to do it, so why fumble around blindly when there are likely to be people around you, particularly if you're in a network like we are?
Fumble around blindly. She looked at me when she said that as well. That's not what I did. I just kind of worked it out for myself.
I think we all do it though, don't
we? Yeah,
we
do. I think you actually learn a lot by doing that as well. So it's a bit like at the moment in our business, we outsource quite a lot of stuff, and it's good to outsource things. But I learned something the other week that actually you shouldn't outsource something straight away. You should understand how it works.
Yeah.
And then that's
yeah.
So at least you know why it works. I think there is a danger here of saying, well, I'm very good at this one thing, and that's all I'm ever going to do, and I outsource everything else. But if you don't understand how the rest of it works.
I agree with that totally, because the risk is, if you just carve up all of the different responsibilities in your business, outsource everything that you don't understand, and never get to understand them,
yeah,
you're actually only going to know in depth about one part of your business. So I totally agree
yeah.
with that.
Sally says that's actually where Foreign is great for her, because she's got experts on tap, which is great.
Yeah.
You just chat to people who understand it. So what's the one thing? What do people not talk about? What's the scary thing that people don't talk about in business?
I think for me, from my own experience and from the conversations that I've had over the years, I think the isolation and the loneliness.
Loneliness.
That sounds really sad and really sinister.
Is that because you come from a big company that you set up when you were 20? All right, show off. But you had like a lot of people around, so you had different departments and places you'd go, and you had big meetings and corporate
yeah.
occasions.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's just you
yeah.
in your box room
yeah,
running a business.
I was in a porter cabin on an industrial estate.
Wow.
On my own.
This is really honest.
Yeah, I was. I'm open about this when I talk, you know, when I do my foresight. When I set my first business up, I was running that business from a porter cabin on an industrial estate.
It was sexy.
It wasn't yeah. sexy. It wasn't glamorous.
Loneliness sucks, says Rene Powell.
And it does.
Well, he's away on his own watching us on the internet. That's how lonely he is right now.
And yeah, it was lonely. You know, I went into my office often at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would still be there at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. That's a long day.
Yeah, yeah.
To not have any interaction. I didn't have any clients, so it wasn't as though I could even pick the phone up and talk to a friendly client.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've had that same experience in my current business. You know, it's a very different business. totally different sector.
Yeah.
But in the first few months, I had times when, even though I'm actually part of a much bigger business, I'm still running my business on my own, you know, independently from home.
And yeah.
Yeah, there have been times when that's been really lonely, and I felt
Sally says loneliness and the responsibility is quite scary. So it's true, the responsibility of running a business, especially if you've got a family.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you say, I actually wrote an article yesterday for one of my clients, and I asked them why they were established, and they're based in Coventry, and I said, why Coventry? I don't know why I said that. And they've been established for nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
And the day that the owner started the business was the day before his second child was born. And he came home and said, I've quit my job. Isn't it brilliant?
Oh, my God, I bet his wife was delighted.
She cried for 2 days.
I bet she did.
And the midwife said, I think she's got postnatal depression. They said, no, I'm just upset that we don't have an income. And I think there is a lot of responsibility when you start your own... Because, let's be fair, if you've got a real job, you could dick around for a long time. You can have sick days. Like, I'm not very well at the moment. Like, but you can't have time off when you're running your own business.
No.
But you can really... it a little bit. And I set up my own business when I was still working for the other company, in and around different things I was doing. But the responsibility of running your own business, you can't, it really is quite scary.
Yeah, it is. And when you start to think about that, that responsibility filters out, doesn't it?
When I started with three kids. He's worse than two kids.
Yeah,
it's
you're
three.
A nutter. Yeah. I started my business when I had no kids, no responsibilities, no ties.
She needs to rock her game, quite frankly. This is not scary at all, is it? It was easy what you did. Porter cabins.
It was easy the first time round because I didn't have any responsibilities. This time round, the weight of responsibility that I feel is so much greater.
Yeah.
You know, I walked...
Four dogs. Yeah.
Two children, one husband.
John doesn't need any help. He's a renegade. He's all right. He's got it.
Yeah, this time round, the weight of responsibility is far greater, and I feel that. I feel that responsibility a lot.
It kind of weighs you down, does it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about something else that people don't talk about. Well, they kind of do talk about it. Let's talk about nightmares. Talk about in the middle of the night when you're dreaming about not paying your VAT. Or you wake up in the middle of the night and think, I forgot to email that client, they'll hate me.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yes.
You're like, you literally
yes.
don't switch off. And
yes.
You wake up in the middle of the night in your dreams. Whereas it used to be dreams of, you know, walking
we
around...
We don't want
to
know.
Walking around... Willy Wonka's factory, eating chocolate helicopters, and now it's like paying the VAT, and oh my God, I forgot to email that guy, or oh shit, I didn't follow up that guy from Four Networking the other week, and he wants to buy from me.
Yeah.
I literally dream about stuff like that.
Yeah.
This just never kind of switches off now.
That ties back to the responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you're in an employed role, you know, okay, you will have some responsibility.
Paul Thompson's just saying yes, yes, yes. Is that a Meg Ryan impression, or are you agreeing with this? I'm not really quite sure. He's had his first day off sick in 3 years, so... Well done for that.
Expand on what you mean by yes, 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 Paul. We'd like to know
a little bit more context.
No, we'd like to know what you mean by that. I think that responsibility it can be at times quite overwhelming, can't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the reasons I like going networking. Here's something I don't say very often: is I don't go there for business. I go there because I'm lonely. It's true, because it is weird, isn't it,
yeah.
Running your own business? And I work in the office most of the time on my own. You know, sometimes Laura's in there, sometimes Joe's in there. But I really like being around people. But I also like hanging around with people that have probably got the same issues as me, the same problems.
Yeah.
Because you think they're all running their own business. And it's nice to hear sometimes, actually, this is probably why we've done this, that everyone is struggling.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, there's a lot of people... making ends meet when they start out, because
yeah.
I'm only 3 years in, so you know we're not retiring just yet.
No,
but it's you think when you hear your friends starting their own business, it's all like Brad says, you know, it's all private jets and company cars and all this, and actually it isn't. You know, I'm being paid less than I've ever been paid since my paper round, because I'm a shit boss, so zero money, and I've got a cheap car. Because you have to get going. And I think when you think of, I've got my own business, I'm a business owner, and stop telling yourself you're an entrepreneur if you're not, because that really pisses me off. You think you're going to have all this amazing stuff, but what people don't know after this is we've got to go do some actual work.
Absolutely.
You know,
we don't just sit around in our mobile studio
talking
to people.
We have to buy our own drinks and everything. It's unreal.
Going back, so you asked the question about nightmares. We'd love to hear from you guys. Tell us what gives you nightmares. Let's talk about it. Get it out there.
Let's
hear from you guys as far as what.
What
the thing...
do you dream about at night, or have nightmares about? Not those dreams.
No, but what, you know, what are the things that wake you up with a slightly racing heart? You know, I've had moments of waking up thinking, you know, have I made the right decision?
God, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I had that yesterday. So people that know Spaghetti Agency, they know me. Sorry, I'm jumping in, but I've got to say it. It's not a disappear. I thought yesterday, am I doing the right thing? Is this what I want to do?
Yeah.
It's so annoying that you're constantly going backwards and forwards. Is this the right thing? Is this not the right thing? And every time I do what I'm doing, I love it. So I know it's the right thing. But it's something in my head saying, should get a real job.
I think that's a healthy thing to experience, because I think you're constantly testing yourself. You're testing, you know, what you're doing against, you know, all sorts of other factors. So I think that's a healthy thing to go through.
But your husband says half of UK startups fail within 5 years. What percentage of those that do fail do you think are because they don't want to or are scared to ask for help? I think probably a lot of them are scared to ask for help.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of problems that businesses are facing right now, that actually if they just got someone on board to help them out, they could get out of it.
They could
solve it. Because sometimes just different thinking, different ways of looking at stuff can really help, because you're in your own box, aren't you? You're in a porter cabin, for God's sake. Yeah. I mean, what do you think of in there?
You're
in your own little cocoon.
I totally agree with that. I do a little bit outside of the main work that I do. I do a little bit of mentoring. Largely, I shouldn't really say this publicly, but largely I do that... I do that for the love of it, largely. So I do offer to work with people that I sort of know and who I've got a relationship with, where I'll get involved with their business and mentor them for a period of time. And the reason that I do that is because I bloody well wish somebody had done it for me in the early days.
I've
got 20 years experience of managing and developing businesses, so I've got, you know, I've got some skills.
But it's nice to be able to do that.
It is.
Here's another honest thing I'm going to say. I actually really enjoy helping other people with their business, and I give them knowledge and advice, and then I think, I should really do that for my own business.
Yeah.
I've literally written a strategy for a client this week for their social media, and it's brilliant and it worked. I was like, wow, it worked. I should really do that for my own business. Why is it we're so good at giving other people advice, like now, and yet sometimes it's really hard to give it to ourselves? What is that? Is it the doubt in your mind, or I don't believe myself, or is it that sort of nagging thing in the background saying, well, is this really what you want? What is that?
I think it's a lot easier to be objective when you are sitting and taking a look at somebody else's business rather than your own. You know, your business is... it's very emotive, isn't it?
I love my business. It should be.
Your heart and your soul, if you're in the right business, your heart and your soul should be wrapped up in that business.
So my leg over there.
It can be really hard to take a step back from that and not be emotional about it.
You kind of have to be emotional about business, but then you have to look at it strategically and sensibly.
Yeah.
Because it's really odd, but you should make decisions based on how you feel about stuff, but also sometimes you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about something in the car, which we're not going to share.
Yeah.
We're not going to share that.
We're not going to share that.
And we've kind of decided, that you're not going to make that decision right now because you're not in the right place to make that decision. And I think sometimes you kind of need to, I'm not saying I'm a mentor, but like sometimes you just need to soundboard an idea and think, actually, no, it's probably not the right time to make it. Pete Principal says, Todd, do you think you would be able to go back to full-time employment after running your own business? No, don't. I was unemployable before. See, when I used to work at the wine merchant, I was in a van on my own all day. That was my porter cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had my own music, and I loaded the van away. I wanted to load it, and I went around the deliveries I wanted to do it. And I'm very logical and I'm very strategic how I do stuff, and it was the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't care who says my way was best. So I was always doing my own thing anyway, but there's no way I could go back now. And I remember I had a phone call with Brad Burton Christmas Eve 1 year. And it wasn't a great Christmas, and I was really struggling with the whole, should I really be doing this? It's been a bit of a tough December. December's always weird anyway. And he just said to me, what are you going to do? Go back and drive a fucking van?
Yeah.
And I said, no. He said, well, fucking get on with it then.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's his mentor.
Yeah.
That's Brad. But that suits me.
Yeah.
But it's so true, Pete. So thanks for saying that. And Renee says, it's easy to help others and offer advice to others. And it's a deflection too, which is quite interesting. Sally said that she's taken on too much in the past as well. I think taking on too much is often a problem. Should we talk about that? But when you start your own business, you're so grateful. To say, hey, Claire, I need what you're doing. You're like, oh my God, I'll take it on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think, they're not ideal. So maybe sometimes you have someone that wants to join your business and you'll think, they're not right for this business. But in the early days, you'll have probably just taken on everyone. And yeah. We'd have done the same with clients.
Yeah.
We had a chip shop that wanted to work with us once. And it was like, it was a really nice chip shop, but I didn't like the guy. Yeah. I really didn't like him. I just didn't like it. You know, when you get that feeling, you're like, it's not right. And I'm really proud to say that I didn't work with him, and he turned out to be a shit. Because yeah. I think in the early days, you just take on everything, don't you?
I think it's really important to... this is something I bang on about to people a lot. I think it's really important to value your own time appropriately. Now, I give this advice all the time to people, and then I'm really over generous with my time and I don't value my own time as well as I should sometimes. But I think as a business owner, it is absolutely imperative that you value your time really carefully. So that
and you
means,
don't just mean time in the business, you mean your time.
I mean
Claire time.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Time to just do nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's you have to have time in, you know, whatever your week looks like, you have to have time in that week to do the things that you need to do on your business, do the things you need to do in your business, spend time networking in whatever shape or form you do that. But then you've also got to have, you know, time for your family. You've got to have time for you. And you've got to make sure you get those priorities right.
You need a spreadsheet for this shit. Do you know what I feel really guilty about? Is in the middle of the week, and Joe will testament to this, I won't do anything that's not to do with the business. So on a Tuesday afternoon,
yeah.
Like this for me is a bit of a, I shouldn't really be here. Because it's not actually doing payable, billable stuff. And I really struggle with doing stuff that I love doing this.
Yeah.
The moment we sat down at rugby breakfast, and I said, this works.
Yeah.
You were like, what, we haven't done anything. I said, something about this, sitting on the sofa that works. I really struggle with that. I really struggle to do something that's not to do with my business. And if I was like to go and walk the dog on a Tuesday afternoon, I'd hate myself for it. And you're saying it's actually really important to do it.
I think it's really important.
I'm leading because I know it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. You know, why else do we venture into the world of self-employment and take on all of that responsibility that we were talking about?
Joe agrees with that point. See, I'm being honest. If she agrees, it's true. Hi, Joe.
Excellent. Hello, Joe. Why else do we venture into the world of self-employment, take on all of that additional responsibility that isn't there if you're an employee, if not to get the benefits of being in self-employed?
The benefits of running your own business or a Bentley, gold credit card.
No, they're not.
That's what I thought. They're Pete not. Ballinger says the nightmare is going back to real job.
That would be
a terrible nightmare.
That is.
Actually, I do have that nightmare.
I've had that
going
nightmare.
Going back to my old job.
Yeah, I've had that nightmare. The last role that I was in, it caused a lot of unhappiness for me. And so I have had a nightmare about going back into employed, and it's back into that role because I was so unhappy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I would be a very, very poor employee now.
I wouldn't hire you.
No.
Tim Fussell says, isn't it all to do with your business? Can you just elaborate on that? Because I think you've got a good point, but I'm just missing where you're at. Because of the satellite delay, not quite sure where you are there. Joe also says, plus walking clears your head, which is true. I should walk the dog in the middle of the day. Dave Halloway, a massive comment. I'm a consultant, it's how I earn, but I still give advice for free, especially if what they need is something that they really need to know. I've actually told people to Google stuff I could have earned for a day's pay. I think this is the best way to build my reputation.
I would agree totally.
She agrees, Dave. This is good news.
I completely agree. I do loads of that, and I think it's a really good thing to do. And what it does is it only adds to your reputation and your credibility, and that can only be a good thing,
yeah.
Can't it?
Actually,
I think there's a balance, you know. You've got to be careful that you don't end up being too overgenerous with your time and your advice.
See, I think that balance changes as well. I think the balance of your time changes. I think the balance of what advice to give away for free changes. I think the type of customer you want to take on or client you want to take on changes.
Yeah.
And I think that's often I think that might be the problem that I'm having, that, oh, this isn't right. Well, it wasn't. It was right 3 weeks ago, but things have slightly changed. And the balance of my life, as you know, is changing right now with Joe because he's having a baby.
Yeah.
So that's affecting what I'm thinking. Oh, my God, you know, July the 13th is like D-Day in my business. I'm like, things are going to change. But I had a really bad experience when my first son was born, which changed everything dramatically.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen this time around because I'm in a better place. But the past learnings are constantly telling me it's going to be bad. And I think that's... That's a human thing.
Yeah.
You learn from past experience, which is good.
Yeah, you do.
But stuff changes, so you...
I think you have to be prepared in...
There's a lot of unemployable people on him.
Yeah, I'm sure that...
Max says unemployable.
Who else is unemployable?
Dave, Darren Hepburn says you get to a point where you're unemployable. You get to a point where you're... And then you can't go back.
So what is it? What is it that makes you unemployable?
You just start thinking too much. I think when you work, you do stuff. You're told to do something, you go and do it. Like, how this whole thing came about is that we were both at a networking meeting. We were at your networking meeting, and your group coordinator at the time, or marketing coordinator, filmed people afterwards about the foresight.
Mm-hmm.
But it was as soon as I sat down, we just said, well, this just works. Now, in a normal environment, you wouldn't have had that thought.
No.
You'd have just sat down on the sofa, done the interview, because it was part of the job, and then gone home.
And then gone, yeah.
But then all of a sudden this has come out of it, and you've just been telling me some amazing stories that have come out of this broadcast.
Yeah.
Not this one, but a few before. And you don't have that mindset when you're employed, because you just do the job. And that's the problem I had when I was employed, is that I kept having all these great thoughts, and they were like, the shit. And actually when I started doing social media for them, they ridiculed me. They absolutely ridiculed me for doing social media for their business, until I got on the radio. And then he asked me how much a tweet cost.
Yeah.
And it was like, if I hadn't just pushed and pushed and pushed. So I think I was already at the point. And just ask Joe. Joe knows I don't listen to anyone. I just do what I want to do. But
can I pick up on a point that you made? And it is going off on a tangent. It isn't really on topic. But I'm gonna pick up on it because I think it's a really important thing. Before we went live this morning, we were just chatting on the sofa with our lighting and everything all around us, as you do. And I was just saying to Todd that... I've had a couple of really interesting experiences over the last few weeks. This is not on topic, so I'm talking about social media.
Tangent.
I'm going off on a tangent here, but it's important and it's, you know, his thing, so we should talk about it. I've had a couple of experiences recently where people have come up and started conversations with me, and it's transpired that they've been following me silently on social media. Now,
this happens a lot.
This happens
as well.
A lot.
This happens.
And
this is happening to you,
you know,
right
if
now.
If you guys that are watching are wondering what value there is in this kind of thing, and
for you to do it,
yeah,
in,
for you doing
this, watching, you're getting loads of value.
This kind of stuff, and investing time in the content that you put out on social media and things like that. You never know who's watching. You never know, because there could be hundreds and hundreds of silent watchers out there. I walked into an event a couple of weeks ago and had somebody literally run across to me, waving her phone at me really excitedly, and showed me my LinkedIn profile. And I sort of said, yep, okay, that's my LinkedIn profile. And she said, yeah, but I've been following you. It's like I'm meeting a celebrity. I've been following you on LinkedIn. And she'd actually been watching this. So Todd and I do Claire and Todd on the Sofa monthly. And she'd been watching this and had been following what I've been doing. But I had no idea that she
it's
was watching.
Mad.
And she, obviously, that's one person. There could be...
Yeah, it is mad.
So anyway, the point that I'm making there is, you know, do invest time in doing whatever it is that works for you on social media, because, and getting content out there, because it has value. People are watching, even if you don't actually see them watching.
But that conversation, and I'm taking credit for that conversation right now, right here, wouldn't have happened had I not had this stupid idea.
No, it wouldn't.
But this stupid idea of Claire on top of the sofa was just a feeling I had. I can't explain it. I sat down next to Claire on a sofa in a Beefeater. Is it Beefeater somewhere?
Was, yeah.
And I just said, this works. And you sometimes have to trust that gut feeling. But in my mind, my logical mind is saying, you can't trust all the gut feelings, because you'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of honing that this is a good decision, this is a bad decision, and trusting that. And I argue with myself all the time, you know?
So Darren says he loves how we're now calling stalkers silent watchers.
Silent watchers. Hashtag that. Start that. And there was a really good comment I want to read up there. Tim Fussell came back about his comment. He said, we're doing now exactly what we're doing because we're business owners. It's enabled us to do Play on top of the sofa.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really good point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people said that there's no way they could go back to being in their own business ever again. Sally says, do you think people who run a business think it's an easy, who don't run a business think it's an easy life running a business?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
I do.
I've
had friends actually say to me, well, it's okay for you because...
I love that.
What?
I do that to people. It's okay for you because... We've got to ban saying that, because you never know what goes on behind the scenes.
No.
People don't know you had 2 hours sleep yesterday. They don't know that.
No.
And it wasn't even because of the business. It's because of other things that you're doing. But you don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
No.
It's like the swan and the metaphor, the legs. You don't know what's going on. No. And on the top of it, and to be fair, although this is a very honest broadcast, most of the time with your marketing and stuff, you should make sure your business looks like an extreme professional, well-run operation so
Absolutely.
People buy from it. Today we just decided to be honest. And I think it's okay sometimes to have this sort of sheen on top of it so you look like the swan on the water.
Yeah, I think for me, I do try to find a balance between, portraying the image that I want people to see of my business, but also portraying the human element of that, because I think there's a risk otherwise that people only, they think that you're that glossy image, and that can actually be intimidating for other people. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, there's a lot of people resonating with this point as well. Richard Leader says, I watch way more than I contribute. I'm still trying to decide how to balance me and my personality with the somber of the world of finance. Richard, I met Richard last week. You may have met him at one of the meetings. I can't remember if he was there up in Manchester last week. Richard, you've got a great presence at a meeting. I think you need to create lots of video content because you've got that. And I don't think of you as working in the world of finance. A lot of people are sat on the fence right now deciding whether they should create content or not. And we're going off on a slight tangent there.
Yes.
But I just think you should. René's had 4 redundancies in 4 years. That's
Blimey.
Why. That's why he started out on his own.
René, can I pose a question to you? What is the biggest thing that you have learned, or the skill that you have developed off the back of that happening? Because I think that's a lot of people could take that situation and think that must have been terribly hard, and I'm sure it was. But
3 kids.
But knowing you and knowing your personality. I'm guessing that there's some real positives that have come out of that experience that you've had, and it'd be really interesting if you can comment and let us know what that is.
Every month on Claire on Top of the Sofa, we have a question that we've pre-prepared. It's the only thing that's scripted. Claire's prepared hers for me, but I'm going to hit her with hers now.
Oh,
mine comes up as we're speaking. And I want to know, when was the last time you wanted to quit what you're doing right now? She had no idea I was going to say that. Because we're being honest,
I'm
right?
going to be really honest.
Yeah.
About a week ago.
Wow.
Honestly, about a week ago. Because I got really, really, really overwhelmed with the sheer amount of stuff that I needed to do. And I had a real, Christ, am I doing the right thing moment.
It's that whole thing in your head, that's
yeah.
that narrative in your head saying,
yeah.
oh, I don't know if that's the right thing. And to me, it's like a parent, but it's not a parent.
Yeah.
Is this the right thing? Is this the right thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really what you should be doing, is it?
I think, for those of you that don't know the background, I walked away from a really, really big job. I was earning 150 grand a year.
Nuts, really, aren't you? You shouldn't be sat here. You should be sat in an ivory tower somewhere.
And I walked away from that to do that. I'm not earning 150 grand a year yet.
That's why the sofa's, quite frankly, old.
I'm very confident that at some point I will.
Oh, you're going to get
I
there.
Will get back to the level of income that I'm used to.
But it's not all about the money, though, is it?
No, I didn't set about what I'm now doing based on the money that I thought I could earn. I set about doing this because I believe, and I still believe, that it will give my family a far better balance and a far better standard of living overall. Now, that encompasses financial security, but more importantly, it's about time, it's about flexibility, it's about the ability for us to spend more time together as a family. And,
But you still doubt your decision?
Yeah, I've had moments because I feel the weight of responsibility.
Yeah.
A week or 10 days ago, I had a real wobble and I sat down and thought, am I doing the right thing? Do I need to go back to the corporate
world? So for the people watching, people back at home, as they say off the telly, how did you get out of that? Who did you speak to? What stopped you sacking it all in and getting a real job?
I talked to a couple of good friends who are people in 4N, actually. These are relationships that I've developed through 4 networking. I talked to them and they reminded me of things that I'd said to them and advice that I'd given to them.
How ironic.
Yeah. I closed my eyes and thought back to some of the times that I've had in my corporate career and tried to find those feelings that I felt and remembered how uncomfortable that was and how unhappy I was at
times.
So you
had to go back there.
I had to go back, but I had to feel it. Because sometimes it's easy with the distance of time to forget just how shit it was.
Rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
That's what it's all
about.
Absolutely.
So
I was actually tricking myself the other week, exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't that bad driving that van, and I quite like doing 70 hours a week, and I really enjoyed the brand new transit van, and I'd plug my iPhone in, I'd listen to my music, and I was like, what the fuck am I talking about? I was driving a van.
Yeah.
It was rubbish. And I've got this massive network of people now, and people like yourself I would never have met driving a van around the M6 down to London. But you do. You look back. That's really resonated with me. You look back and you think, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
it was all right.
You do. And I think when you do that, it's a trick of the mind. Don't let your mind trick you. And you need to try and put yourself back in that place and actually feel what you felt at the time. Because otherwise, your mind is kind of tricking you because you're not remembering those feelings. For me, there were some very uncomfortable feelings when I really dug back and remembered, and that reminded me of why I'm doing what I'm doing now, and actually that this is where I should be.
We've got 5 minutes left.
Right, so I answered your question. The time has gone so quickly.
So how honest am I? I knew that you were going to ask me this question.
If any of you guys...
There's some great questions on there. We're going to come back to those later because we really have rattled through the time
today.
Oh, Sally,
before I'm going to ask Todd his uncomfortable question in a moment. But before we do, Sally, that's a really nice comment. Thank you. Sally said, Claire Russell, going back to when it was bad is definitely the way to address the wobbles. I'm also pleased to hear other people have wobbles. We all have them, Sally.
And they have weekly wobbles as well. That's the thing. Renee says he has a weekly wobble. I look at Rene Power. Rene Power used to be like up here for me, and he still is.
That came
out wrong. And I saw him at a conference. I'll be very quick because you've got to ask me my question. I saw him at this amazing conference, and now he's in 4N, and now he's like a 4N friend, and it's amazing. But I just think, oh, Rene Power's got it made. But he wobbles every day, and his car sometimes doesn't work, and he ran over his laptop the other week. You know, these things that happen to business owners, and I think it's good to share it. I think that the whole 4N thing, one of the reasons I like going is just to be around nutters that started their own business and stuff. So anyway,
yeah, I think
hit me with that question because we've got 4 minutes. Not that I like to finish on time, but I feel like my 4N head's coming in now. Like finish the talk and stuff.
No, I'm gonna make you run over for that.
No.
So okay, so the question that I wanted to ask you is, what if there is one thing that you can pick out from your early days in business that was something you really didn't expect in out of self-employment, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I didn't expect. I guess when we started, I didn't expect to have to do so much in the business. Like when we started, it was just, oh, I'm good at social media and I write content. And
yeah.
Stuff. That's all I'll need to do. Right. I'll just do that bit. Because when I had a real job, I was doing that on the side. What you don't realise is you've got to do everything. And you've got to think about everything, and you've got to be looking for opportunities. And daft things like you go for a coffee somewhere, and you're critiquing their marketing, and you're looking at different ways that they could have done it better, and, oh, this would have worked better like that. And you never really switch off from it.
Yeah.
And I never really switch off from stuff anyway, but as Joe said, and you said earlier, sometimes you've just got to go out and walk around and enjoy stuff. I don't think I'm as present at the moment in my life, my out-of-work life, as I was when I had a real job, because
right.
I'm constantly in the business all the time, because it's so encompassing, because I'm always looking at the accounts, and I'm always looking at this, and I'm always worrying about that, and especially with our business, because it's all 24 hours a day with different guys doing different stuff. And I don't think I expected it to be so encompassing, so engulfing, if you like. And although now I have weekends off with my little boy, which I didn't before, like he's now 10, and when life changed, what, he was like 5, 4, 6. And most of his life I'd worked every Saturday.
Yeah.
So now I don't, but I'm still not quite present because the business is just there. It's just engulfing. So I don't think I expected it to be so engulfing. I absolutely love it, but it does take over, and it's still taking over, and it's trying to find that. It's that balance we keep talking about. It's trying to find that balance so that you do have nice walks in the park. And that picture you shared with your kids and the dogs the other week, which was just great, you know. I think like a year ago or 2 years ago before my Friday nights with this and that, Sunday, whatever it was, Sundays, and you said, now instead of hating Mondays, now just not giving a crap, walking down the street and with some dogs, you know. And it's just really, really cool.
I think the point you made about not being present, that's something that a lot of people have said to me in conversations when we've talked about being in business, is that even if the business that you run is a 9-to-5 type business, it still bleeds into the rest of your life, doesn't it?
I like that, it bleeds into it.
It does.
I really like that.
And I think I think it's one of the things that you do need to be very careful of, is that, you know, yes, you know, it's just a given with self-employment and running your own business that there are going to be times when you've got to sit down on a Saturday yes. evening and deal with something. Or
that comes back to that little voice in your head saying, is this the right thing to do? Actually, you could train that little voice in your head to say, could your time be used slightly yeah. better, or are you maybe spending too much time on that? And so sometimes maybe we just need to retrain that little brain and that little voice in our head that's saying, just get a real job. Maybe we could retrain it to say, well, just be cautious, you're spending a little bit too much time on that, and have a break, you know, just look at things from a different angle and go for a walk.
I think maybe take some of the disciplines that would have naturally applied in employment. You know, when you were employed, or most, you know, for most of us, there would have been a job description, there would have been expectations in terms of hours of work, there would have been targets and goals and incentives and la 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 la. And maybe it's about creating some of those disciplines business.
See, in my old job, I had to empty a van.
Yeah.
So I knew when I'd done my job, I had an empty van. I used to hate it when I had a collection on the way round.
Yeah.
Which really pissed me off, because I'd come back and I'd have stuff in the van, and my job was to empty the van, a full van, and empty it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, you just keep going. It's like, when am I ever going to get to the empty van? And I don't kind of have that. So maybe I need to create an empty van moment in my life,
yeah,
in my business, and just have that moment where the van is empty. I've done okay today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So we're at time now, guys. We could sit here and continue talking all day.
Thank you to Hercules, to Pam, my mother-in-law, who just popped on to say, this is your real job. Stop calling it the other job your real job. It's a mindset thing, Pam. I'm going to get there. Thanks to Tim, to Rene, to Hayley, and for Jay for all your comments. We will go back. Claire will go back. And I'll get so many notifications when you do that, by the way. She's
yes.
on there. Yep, that's what
so
it's all about.
Thank you all for tuning in. It's been...
really appreciate you coming live, guys. I mean,
we really
it's
do.
The middle of the day and there's 25 people. It's nuts.
And we will we'll be here in about a month's time. There'll be an announcement to tell you where we'll be on which sofa.
Each month, new sofa. If you want us to sit on your sofa, then hit us up. We're in Bacco Lounge in Rugby today. It's lovely. I hope you've been able to hear us. I've got some wonderful music on. But we're looking to move around places. We have found a mental sofa, which we're working on, which will be really cool. But if you've got a sofa nearby that you think would be quite useful, we've done houses. We're now thinking shop windows, buses, lorries.
If anybody can get us into a shop window somewhere, that would be marvellous.
That would be cool. So we can have people outside looking at us. We're like, you know, drama queens and want the attention, but that would be really cool. So if you've got any cool ideas, let us know. And guys, if you're just tuning in now, the replay will be live. As soon as we finish, we'll hit replay. We'll just post it and it'll be live. So thanks to Paul. So thanks, guys. I have two sofas in my office if you fancy them.
Absolutely. Cool.
Studio audience and guests, Renee, that's coming up now. Thanks, Joe, for saying it was good. Hercules, have I booked my holiday? I've literally just come back. Can you not see the tan? That's why I've got the lights to sort of make it. So I look.
This
I'll
is
make
why
it
I look
white.
So white.
You've been listening to the podcast of Claire Russell. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, please find us at www.clarerussell.co.uk/category/podcast. Tweet us at CRBusiness or subscribe via my main website. Thank you for listening. Chat with you again in a while.